You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey there. Hi. How's everyone doing? Welcome to ENN on a Tuesday evening. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Well, they call the two of them quivers.
Okay. And let's say good evening to Don.
Planet Apes is a big deal in my family.
Now that.
That is going to be such an underrated drop yeah. in March.
Well, it's just so we know how true it is. Now, let's hear a troubling part of the interview with Keyshawn where I had a moment, Michael, where I thought that Keyshawn forgot Don's name. But I'm told I'm wrong, but let's hear it back.
I disagree with you, John.
Oh, I think it was John.
No, I heard it at the time. I think he said John.
I disagree with you, John.
Wow.
That's clearly John.
That's in a word.
Troubling.
Troubling.
I love the idea of Don having a cousin who shows up on the show named John LaGreca.
Oh, yeah. And his second cousin Dom, friend of Chris.
Am I playing with the doll? And Don is just like very, very calm, very chill. Doesn't win any arguments. Doesn't have any opinions.
Don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend him.
That's Don.
John is just somebody you don't even want to have to deal with.
So you're saying
my cameo money.
So you're saying John LaGreca is like he's like 70% Don.
He's Vanilla Don.
I love
Vanilla Don next at Baskin Robbins.
I would love, you know, Kaepernick just got his own Ben and Jerry's.
I know.
Can couldn't you see a Haagen-Dazs flavor called Vanilla Don with just a picture of Don's face on it?
But it couldn't be Vanilla Don. It'd have to have something with rant in it.
Ooh, Vanilla Don with
That's my favorite flavor.
Is vanilla.
But I am anything but vanilla.
Vanilla's your favorite flavor.
Yeah, I love it.
It's really not a flavor.
Yeah, it's like a blank canvas. No, it's like saying your favorite art is just a white wall.
No, that's an ignorant statement. Take it back.
What?
Vanilla, it's fantastic.
I enjoy it.
Of all the great flavors of ice cream, chocolate chip, everything. I'm not going to name every one. You like vanilla the best.
Well, Michael, I agree with you, but I need you to back off because you don't get the right to make this.
Yeah, your palate is...
I do. I can make this because you...
Abomination.
Yeah, you don't like anything with flavor, so you should be in lockstep right. with Don.
Why? Never in lockstep with Don.
No, but listen, I my favorite ice cream flavor is vanilla, but I'll get a little raw cookie dough in there. You know, I'm not just sitting there just ordering vanilla, but I do enjoy vanilla.
But like if you go to
chocolate
ice cream...
chip.
If you're at the beach over the summer and you go to get a cone... Are you just saying I'll have a waffle cone or a scoop of vanilla?
No, you go waffle cone. What are you doing?
No, but I mean, are you the flavor you're getting?
Oh, vanilla.
You're just getting...
When you have a cone with vanilla in it, do you actually fall asleep while you're eating it?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's the cone. Hold on. So even when you go to like a wacky beach ice cream place where they've got flavors galore.
Rocky Road.
Moose Tracks, mint chip, you know, everything.
Cherry Garcia.
You go...
I'm very happy. Well, what I would probably do down the shore...
Yeah,
you go with like the orange creamsicle or something like that. That's wonderful.
Oh, okay. So you do go away from vanilla.
But if you go to a place like I go to Rita's a lot, and the custard is just vanilla, chocolate, or both,
you got to go swirl.
I'm gonna go vanilla every time.
But you're getting a dip, no?
Oh well, I'll get sprinkles or Jimmy's as they call it down in South.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Anthony. You're welcome, Anthony.
He's 11. He's 11.
Well, no. Hold on. I enjoy getting my ice cream dipped in Jimmy's. There's no doubt.
Is that what they call it?
Well, down there. It's like Taylor ham and pork roll. It's, it depends on where you live.
I have a really serious question.
We need an entire drop bracket from today's ENN. That's it.
Or just today, period.
If we get Don talking about what he eats down the shore, I think it's an entire bracket.
Don, the Planet of the Apes garbage can that your brother gave you for Christmas.
What a beautiful gift that was.
I'm curious, do you actually throw garbage in it? Or is it just,
of course.
Well,
I'll get a garbage bag as a liner. And I'll throw garbage in there.
But then if you have a liner, then part of it's covering up the beauty of
just the top.
Yeah, well, but still, you're covering. Look, you might be covering up the word planet.
There's not a rotation of people coming down here, Michael. So it serves.
So you're a big Roddy McDowell guy.
No.
More Charlton Heston.
Yes.
Okay.
You prefer politically.
You prefer Rodney McDowell or
you
Andy
don't have
McDowell.
To pry it from my dead. What was the line?
Pry it from his
Roddy,
cold dead.
Not
hands.
Rodney. Roddy.
Who?
Yeah, Roddy.
Roddy McDowell.
Roddy
not
McDowell.
Rodney.
I don't know who that is.
You know who Roddy McDowell
is? He was Cornelius
in
Planet of the Apes.
Right. I only know the modern version. I haven't seen the
Planet
original.
Planet of
the
Apes is a big deal in my family.
Yeah, I only seen the late version.
So you don't know who Faye Ray is, right?
Can't say I do.
Oh, come on.
She was the original woman that King Kong went after and climbed up the Empire State Building.
Well, I can picture her, but I didn't know her name was Faye Ray.
See, well, Peter's one of those guys. I love him to tears, okay?
Do you?
But he is definitely one of those guys that the world didn't start until he was born.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There were dinosaurs, and then he was born.
Like, I enjoy getting my ice cream dipped in Jimmy's. Now, listen. Hold on for a second. I'm not like that, and I argue with people when they haven't seen what I consider to be, like, absolute necessity stuff. But when you go back to a 1968 film, let me just be clear. I have barely seen a movie pre-1975.
You've barely. Not seen Citizen Kane?
Never.
All right,
it's one of the great movies of all
time. Why don't you
time.
Recuse yourself from the show
Never
today.
Saw The Graduate.
I've seen The Graduate.
The Wizard of Oz.
That's The Graduate's barely pre-75.
The Wizard of Oz.
I've seen The Wizard of Oz.
1939.
Okay, that's a rare example. But Citizen Kane, never seen it.
The Godfather.
1972. Seen it. Again, barely
I mean,
before.
We're just, machine gunning your point.
No, you're not.
Yeah, we just every movie we guessed, you've seen.
No, but a lot of older movies. You're going
Birth
like,
of a Nation.
Never seen Birth of a Nation.
Well, I mean, that's an important film in the history
really
of this
important.
Country.
Yeah,
I saw the redo of it.
Oh, but that's ridiculous.
It is?
Yes. You have to see the original Birth of a Nation.
Isn't it disgusting?
Yes.
But you got to know the enemy kind of
You guys
deal.
Know me well. You know me well. You think I don't understand how disgusting this place was? Believe me, I understand. I don't need to
but,
see the film.
But I know for a fact that in your alone time, you watch a lot of disgusting cinema.
Excuse me. First of all, you calling that cinema is very generous. All right, let's start off with the Cleveland Browns. We get ready for a big NFL playoff weekend. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski and five Browns testing positive for COVID. Here's the statement from the Browns. The Cleveland Browns were informed this morning that head coach Kevin Stefanski, two additional members of the coaching staff, and two players have tested positive for COVID. Our facility is currently closed while contact tracing is taking place. The team will continue to consult with the league and medical experts to determine the appropriate next steps as the health and safety of our players, coaches, and staff and the entire community remains our highest priority. Our contingency planning calls for special teams coordinator Mike Prefer to serve as the acting head coach.
The guy who's going to be calling the plays, because Stefanski's a head coach that calls the plays, is going to be the offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt. He will call the plays. And the special teams coach, as Peter mentioned, is going to be the coach.
Well, I'll tell you one person who I bet has a little strong feelings on this.
Who?
Former Cleveland head coach who probably thinks this is a dereliction of duty, if you know what I'm saying.
You know, they have a rule. Oh, sorry.
You know, I didn't believe in this whole COVID-19 until some of the fellas on my team called it. And then I started wearing a mask, and I said, I understand. And so when I go to some of the concerts that I go to, underground country concerts and festivals, bike rallies, wrestling matches, cage fights, things of that nature, cockfights, I wear my mask because I'm a smart man. My name's Freddie Keehy. And I prove that I knew how to lead that Cleveland team. Dom, do me a favor. What was my record last year coaching over in Cleveland?
Not good. Was it 2-14? I'm not even sure.
And what'd they do this year?
Oh, they're in the playoffs, baby. First time since 2002.
Now, you really think that if I was capable of coaching us to the playoffs, which I'm clearly not capable of doing, you think once I do that, I'm going to mess around and get the coronavirus 2018 and miss the game? My daddy taught me about situations like this. He said, Freddie, if you're ever good enough to make the playoffs, and I don't think you are, do me a favor. Don't catch the global pandemic and miss the playoffs. In other words, Kevin Stepanski, you're an idiot. And if I see you, me, Bernie Kosar, Gerald Riggs, Jim Brown, and everyone else in Cleveland history, we gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you. Sorry, Michael, what were you saying?
There's a rule that the NFL has, and I think that rule should be thrown out the window in sports this year.
All right.
Like, when the Giants offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett, had COVID-19, he could not coach remotely. So that's why Freddie Kitchens called the plays.
You know, a lot of people said, I also couldn't remotely coach.
So why wouldn't they allow Kevin Stefanski to be at home with a monitor, live feed, and coach? Why? Why not?
Yeah, why not?
That's a good point. It's a fair point.
Thank you.
Now listen, if you and what you could do is, if there's anybody with Pittsburgh that wants to stay home and coach remotely, go ahead.
Matter of fact, I'm going to jump stories because I have a story that ties right into that there, Kaster.
Cool.
Okay.
Tony Romo may be doing that this weekend when he calls NFL playoff games. He may not be able to get to New Orleans from Dallas, according to the New York Post, because of some restrictions. Now, last week, after arriving in L.A. to call the Rams-Cardinals game, he was ruled out because of COVID protocols. So Boomer Esiason had to fly across the country and do the game with Jim Nance. However, we don't know the answer, but according to Romo, he wants to use the, quote, Kirk Herbstreit method and call this game from home.
Can you imagine how much easier John Madden's life would have been rather than get on a bus? I mean, you can effectively call the game from your home.
He's going to score, Herbstreit,
I thought, did an unbelievable job. And he had a massive amount of monitors that they put in. Why can't it be done?
I don't really see what the big – here's the problem. I don't want to, like, you know, go against the idea of broadcasters being in games. I know it's fun. It's part of the experience, etc. But really, what's the loss in it for the viewer? How is the viewer negatively impacted by you watching on a monitor at home?
Here's – because I was talking to Kenny Albert, because Kenny has been traveling for Fox.
And then on the weekends, calling elementary school games just for fun.
And really, what's – you know, he was just – you still have to Skype or FaceTime or whatever, Zoom with the coaches. You know, you don't – you might as well be doing it from afar. You know, they can't be in the same car, so they got to rent their own cars. The only time that they are together to meet is Saturday in, like, a ballroom so they could socially distance. So, yeah, it's a little easier to call the game when you're there. But my big thing about calling, a hockey game is going to the morning skate, talking to players, trying to get a sense of what's going on. But you're still not getting that anyway because you're not going into the room. You're still Zooming with the coaches and the players to talk to them.
And by the way, you could have the two announcers get together, get tested, and just get together. Nance could go sleep over at Romo's palatial estate, hang out with his hot wife. They could smoke some Bubonge.
Oh, my goodness.
Have a drink. Have a good time during the game.
Don, did you know a little known fact? You know, you mentioned they meet in the ballroom. Kenny, an established ballroom dancer.
Is that true?
Yes, he is. Loves it. And has actually entered competitions, too. Lost all of them, but he entered them.
Well, first of all, this is a lie. Because he literally has no time to enter in ballroom dancing. He's got a game every single day.
That's a fair point.
So that's where you lost me. You had me until you like he entered contests. There's not a possible.
He has time for contests.
But believe me, if there was competitive ballroom dancing on television and they needed an announcer.
Oh, yeah, he would definitely call it.
Oh, he could call it, yeah.
Better than his dad, by the way.
No, stop it.
I got to tell you, Don, he's so good, but when you say that, you call attention to the fact that that's not true. You shouldn't do it because he's great.
That was so well said.
Because it's not true, but he's great.
Hey, listen, he's my boy.
So just because he's your boy,
yeah,
you're going to disparage a legend, an icon.
What, disparage a legend by saying his son's better?
Yeah, because he's not better.
Because I think Kenny's better. He's done more sports
than his father. I'm sorry.
He may be more diverse, but Marv is, you know.
Marv calls basketball.
He's done studio work.
Marv never did baseball to the extent that Kenny's doing it now.
Don't tell me to the extent. Right? He's called baseball
Kenny's
games.
In the higher pecking order on Fox than his dad was ever at NBC.
Yes! All
right?
Until he gets the Stanley Cup on NBC, has he ever called the championship like his dad?
Because he did a lot of big NBA finals.
Yeah. All right. You're witness.
Give him time. He's not even. He's 52 years old.
I'm pretty sure that him and his dad are the same age. Also, that's the thing. Marv is 52.
Hey, listen. I got to tell you, I met Marv at Kenny's barbecue, and he watches us on the treadmill. So I'm not saying anything out of school. He consumes us on the treadmill.
And Marv, you're insulting an icon.
How am I insulting him? He's one of the top five broadcasters of all time.
Can I extrapolate, Peter? Marv is one of the top five broadcasters of all time.
That means Kenny's
one of the top four.
That's right.
Wow. What a take.
Listen, I love Kenny, too. We have the same birthday. You really, truly believe he's one of the top four broadcasters of all time?
Well, because look, he does
all right, hold on. I'm going to extrapolate further.
Peter, Keyshawn was right.
I'm going to extrapolate further real quick. So, Marv is top five. Kenny is top four. That means Michael is either top three or you believe to be a worse broadcaster than Kenny Albert. So I want to know which one.
Then I usually play ping pong. I've been doing that for the last week or so.
You put me in an impossible spot.
I know. But no, you did. You did with this nonsense.
Kenny's better than Michael. And I'll tell you
Oh.
He's not a better baseball announcer.
I hope not.
But when Michael starts doing hockey, when Michael does basketball, when he does football and baseball and college basketball and track and field for the Olympics, now we're talking. Now, if you want to tell me, in a particular moment, who else does everything?
So
the answer is no one.
So who else rounds out this top five that includes Marv?
Well, you
got to
put Doc
Kenny
in there. Doc's, you know, Doc's one for me.
Any of these people not your friends in the top five?
I'm not friends with Doc. I love him.
Doc! I've got breaking news for Peter.
Please. For me?
For you.
All right.
The New York Post is reporting exclusively that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are getting a divorce. The quote is, she's done.
Wow. This is big. Wow.
Yeah.
What's the straw that broke the camel's back there? Because you got a lot of straws, I'm sure.
I'll tell you what. She's a Giant fan. He's an Eagle fan.
Is that it?
I think that was probably it.
No, it's actually, they're both Giants fans. They just, it's like Keyshawn and Don. They just couldn't get on the same page about the Peterson decision.
Is that right?
By the way, Ballard weighing in with a shocking text here. I was
shocking
today.
Guess the words are spelled correctly.
I was today years old when I learned Marv was Kenny's dad.
Live under a rock?
Come on, really?
You have to hear them
come
talk.
Come on, dog.
You know what? I'm a big Ballard guy.
But you're out.
I'm not out.
I think he's great,
but that's not bright. That's
it's
that's deficient mentally.
It's coming around to what I said, isn't it? Coming around to my side,
aren't
you?
Around and not liking a guy because of his name. But how did you find that out?
It goes deeper than the name now. He's revealed himself to be a reprehensible human being.
I presume that Ballard then also doesn't know that Steve Albert is also an Albert.
Right. And Al Albert. Right.
And they're brothers of Marv.
Hold on. Al and Steve are Marv's younger brothers.
Yes.
Who are the other sons?
Marv has a daughter who's also a broadcaster, and I think he has a son who's not in the business.
A daughter who's a broadcaster, though?
She does broadcasting work. She does podcasts, and I think she does some kind of television show, too.
Okay, got it. But Kenny's the only truly chip off the block, does the same thing as the brothers.
Right.
How do you not know that?
Now, do you have more ENN, Peter?
You know what? It's funny you mention that, because I still have a handful of stories to get to.
Right. Well, you know what? Why don't we towel off, because what Ballard just did was throw a wrench into the proceedings. Like, he can't even... We've got to untangle all of this.
Yeah, I got to reevaluate, too. This,
Don, you'd save yourself a lot of angst if you just come around to my side
believe, as a sports fan. How you not know? You just hear the guy speak for 3 seconds.
And also, the way he said it so cleverly. I was today years old when I found out Kenny Albert was Marv's son. Stop yourself, Ballard.
Ballard has weighed in again, and he wants to know if Fat Albert is related to the Albert family.
No. Fat Albert is obviously Ballard's cousin. 1-800-919-3776 is the number.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Not a big fan of cancel culture, not at all, but I think Ballard has to be canceled off the show.
Wow.
I think that Don would agree. Don's appalled right now.
He didn't go that far. I don't think Don's standing where you are.
Well, I'll just say that it's very fluid. It was a tough day. That's a very difficult day.
Can't Ballard! From that.
I wonder, though, of our average listeners, not just Ballard, who are not like us in terms of how dialed we are to sports broadcasting, are there people out there where it never crossed their mind?
If you're a sports fan and you have taken a breath in the city of New York to not know that Kenny Albert is Marv Albert's son is inexcusable.
Why does the New York part even matter? That didn't affect my knowing it.
Well, Kenny and Marv are New Yorkers. You know, Kenny's the voice of the Rangers on
that's,
radio.
Yeah, that's
Don.
True.
Marv was the voice of the only two Knick championships ever.
And Kenny has called tons of Stanley Cup final games on radio, so he's done some championships. Chuck Philpott says, I'm ashamed to be honest. It makes sense now, but I promise I had no idea Kenny Albert and Marv Albert's son. Never crossed my mind.
See?
How could it? Don, they sound alike.
They sound alike. They have the same inflection, same
rhythm.
Yeah.
Olivier Batali. Agrees. Ballard's not the only one.
Now, if you're just a basketball fan, and maybe you're not a hockey fan or a football fan, and you just like basketball, then maybe you're not that familiar with Kenny's work. But come on, Ballard's a football fan, so he has to. I'm sure Kenny will do 2 or 3 Packer games a year.
Yeah,
Ballard fan of other sports.
Marv's other son is Prince Albert. People don't know that.
A lot's not true. This just in also from our one of our listeners, Anthony Perry Jr., who tweeted us and said, Michael, the rumors are that Kenny Albert's going to be calling the Don versus Key argument tournament that they're having soon.
Then I usually play ping pong. I've been doing that for the last week or so.
Well,
8 days straight.
That calling that is like stealing money because you don't have to talk. Listen to how many words I said during that argument.
I'd like to hear more, if I can, Anthony, about Don's love of sprinkles and what he puts on his ice cream.
Oh, well, I'll get sprinkles.
True. I enjoy getting my ice cream dipped in Jimmy's. You missed a lot. You missed 5 minutes. You missed a lot on the show. Now,
you got to listen to all 4 hours.
You do. Miles Sanders of the Eagles was on WIP, and he was asked how the team felt about Jalen Hurts being benched for Sudfeld.
If I'm being honest, nobody liked the decision. Nobody, and that's all I could say, really. But I don't know who was the main person behind that decision. But all I know is a lot of people on the team was confused.
You know what's an underrated part of this story? The feelings of Nate Sudfeld. He is literally, he played so badly that the entire world is arguing that because he was put in a football game, it was the ultimate sign that his coach wanted to lose. How do you even survive the last two days?
Well, it's tough because he still played poorly. You know, so it's he did have some control over the situation. But you know what got lost in the key argument? Is that we're talking so much about, well, what about Pittsburgh? What about Kansas City? They still coached and played to win the game. They took their starters out, so their odds of winning were actually lowered. But you know, Pittsburgh almost won that game against Cleveland.
Yep.
It was a two-point game. They were 10.5-point underdogs, and it was a two-point game. This is the rarest of occasions where we actually saw a coach make a decision to purposely lose a game. People can't see that?
I need to stress this. I understand Keyshawn and others' arguments that you can compare benching a quarterback of a playoff-bound team to this situation, but you really can't. And I said it yesterday, I'm going to say it one more time. When Kansas City benches Patrick Mahomes or Pittsburgh benches Ben Roethlisberger, they are doing so in an attempt to win a championship. They are benching them with the purpose of winning more, right? That is the goal. We want them to sit so we can win a Super Bowl. That is completely different than if you can no longer attempt to win.
And that's what I said to Key. I said, because you're living in the moment, not thinking about a draft that's going to be months from now. And also, Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin coached those games on Sunday to win. Now, they didn't give themselves the greatest chance to do it because of who was benched, but they still made decisions and coached to try to win the game. That's not what happened in Philadelphia. That's a big difference, man.
Huge, huge. So Alex Smith is still nursing that strained calf going into the playoff game against Tampa this weekend, and Ron Rivera says he's considering rotating quarterbacks on Saturday night. He said, we have to look at that. The truth of the matter is we're playing a very aggressive defense this week. It's something we most certainly have to look at. Of course, the Washington backup is Taylor Heinicke, who has barely any NFL experience, but when he came in relief of Dwayne Haskins a couple of weeks ago, actually got people like myself a little bit excited because it looked like he kind of knew how to play. I wonder how creative you could get using both guys. And again, with Alex, he can be effective, guys, if they protect him. But if they're not able to hold up to that pass rush from Tampa, it's not going to work.
Do you think this is actually happening, Peter? Or do you think that they're just playing it coy and they know that Smith's not going to be able to go?
No, I think he's able to go.
I think he's going to go. I think Ron Rivera wants to set the stage so it doesn't look like a benching for ineffectiveness.
Great. That might be the best point you've ever made on the show.
He doesn't want it to look like he benched Alex. He wants it to look like we were always considering doing it. But the truth is, in that second half, if Washington had gotten down to Philly, I don't know that Alex could have done enough. I rewatched the highlights today. When he gets the ball out of his hands really quickly, or he gets 3 or 4 seconds, he's fine. Otherwise, he is... I've never seen someone turn from a really good quarterback to garbage faster. He cannot throw the ball. So, they might have to just go to Heinicke. It's going to be an interesting... What do you guys think is the most interesting game this weekend?
To me, the toughest to pick, and the game that I think is a complete toss-up of all of them, is the Ravens and Titans.
That is a tough game. That's a tough
tough game.
Remember, the Titans completely shut them down last year. They're the ones that kind of exposed the limitations of the quarterback.
So true.
And you have the Ravens as a 3.5-point favorite in Tennessee. It's down to three. 3-point favorite in Tennessee. I got to tell you, I think Cleveland-Pittsburgh's pretty fascinating.
Yeah,
divisional
now,
rivalry game like that?
No,
Sunday
that,
night?
No, that, listen, I really don't think there's a dog here. Do you?
New Orleans-Chicago's.
Yeah, I guess so. But if that's the worst you have out of six, that's not bad.
And and Colts-Bills will be bad, I believe. Not to tip my hand, but I don't think that's not going to be close. I don't think that's going to be close. I'm telling you, this Bills team is rolling. They're 98 Vikings mode right now.
Best team in football right now.
They really are. They're just. By the way, Ballard has weighed back in on me.
All right, this will be the deciding factor, Michael, for me. I mean, you've already made your decision. So this better be a great point. Otherwise, I'm with Michael.
Ballard weighing in is never a good idea.
You should have said, I'm not making fun of Ballard, but if you'd wanted to complete the joke, you would have paused and said, especially for the scale.
I think that's unsaid. Yeah, I mean, that's pounding home a joke and a punchline. But please, what did he say?
It was a few minutes ago, weighing in on our conversation about not knowing that Kenny Albert was related to Marv. He said, Kenny doesn't talk about his dad the way Joe Buck does his. I think that's fair. I think it is fair.
I think it's fair.
Because Joe Buck does really invoke his dad a lot. It's a different kind of thing.
Well, I don't want to dive into the relationship, but because like somebody else said, well, you could search the internet. There's no picture of the two of them together. Well,
really?
But I just think it's just so obvious.
I never knew I would work in sports. The first time I saw Kenny Albert in the booth, and he was like, hello! And I was like, oh, well, that's obviously Albert's child.
All you have to do is hear 30 seconds. The voice alone, the mannerisms, like everything, just...
Can't get out from under this. We have to wrap things up quickly because we have Chris Carlin coming on.
I love Carlin. Let's wrap things up with Jerry Jones, who was on 105.3 The Fan, and he talks about Dak Prescott's leverage this offseason.
I don't know how you could have any more leverage. His evolving into an NFL quarterback has been nothing short of a perfect pitcher. And he has great ability in my mind to win games. He's talented. He certainly has experience. And so he has all the things, as substantiated by what we've offered Dak. You wouldn't be offering Dak what's been offered him in the past had you not thought he was very special. The issue is how do you come together? And that's no stranger to me. I've been doing it all my life. I got here putting things together, and we've got to get it together.
You know, I looked this up, Peter. Mm-hmm. This is what Dak turned down last time, a contract that averaged $34.5 million a year, a $50 million signing bonus, and $110 million of guaranteed money. He turned that down. So this year he made $31.4 million because that was the franchise tag. I don't know what it's going to take to sign him, and do we know that he's going to return 100% from that gruesome injury?
But that's what's so amazing if you're Dak Prescott, because in theory he could have been losing leverage instead for most of the year, not all of it. The quarterbacking in Dallas was so bad that his value went up and up and up.
Yep.
So assuming he's getting a good bill of health from a doctor, from team doctors, he could cash in even more. That'll do it for ENN
good
on
job.
This Tuesday evening. Thank you.
Now, Chris Carlin follows us at 7. He has a complete full show, but I wanted to bring in my adorable daughter, Callie, before we went to break. It's Callie's birthday, and this is what a good little girl she is. She's waiting patiently to have her birthday cake and her gifts until Daddy gets off the air.
Oh,
wow. And isn't that true, honey? Now, do you want to do the rap that I taped you doing the other day? Itchy in my nose? You sure?
Ooh, I've heard about itchy in my nose.
Oh, itchy in my nose is great. You want to do it? You want to say yeet? How old are you, by the way, today?
8.
She's 8.
Wow.
She never shuts up, but when she's on TV, she just doesn't say a word. Anyway, Chris Carlin, who is not 8, although that's his head size, he will join us in just a moment when we return. Callie, say that we're on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. Say it.
We're on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Beautiful.